Fans, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Game 4 between the Giants and the Marlins. The Giants trying to get 5-5 on this road trip. A pleasure to bring in Scott Reese. Now, of course, we know Scott from being a host at KMBR and just an all-around great guy on TV and radio, the voice of the Cardinal as well. Scott Reese with us. Scott, good morning. How are you?
I am great. Good morning to you, sir.
Well, the Giants are trying to get out of Miami with a split. It's been quite a series down there. The rain is going on, and they're, of course, in the closed stadium. But this has been a tough series for the Giants.
Yeah. It's never easy on the road. You can't look at the schedule and see the Marlins and think you're just going to go in there and win a series without breaking a sweat. I think they continue to do some things that are good and some things that are not so good. And the end result is, you know, frankly, a team where if you look at the standings and you look at the stats, they're kind of the middle of the pack team right now. And obviously we all have higher expectations than that.
Looking at Gabe Kapler this week, and we'll talk about it on the post-game show today. I'm filling in for Bill Lasky today. Kapler's had quite a week of handling the starting pitching, and it's still a learning curve for him, and he's had a tough week with the bullpen and the starting pitching. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I think that last year it seemed like everything went right, and, you know, when everything goes right, we tend to forget how hard it is to manage a pitching staff and to make these decisions. You know, we were so spoiled with Bruce Bochy for so many years, who was just such a master of handling a staff and particularly a bullpen. And Kapler sort of continued that trend last year. And this year, you know, some things have backfired. My concern is you don't want to lose your guys. You don't want to get to a point where you take Logan Webb out of the game and you saw the body language and you saw his face in the dugout when that next batter got the hit and, you know, he's charged with the runs and it just, you know, when Cooper got the single. So, you know, I think that's the danger is the credibility inside the clubhouse is so important. Fortunately for Kapler, he built up so much of that last year that I think he'll be fine. But, you know, that's kind of something I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, and we'll talk about it today on the postgame show, and I'm sure it's a factor in the clubhouse as well. Giants are 28-24. They're 6.5 behind the Dodgers. The Padres are 3 behind the Dodgers right now. How do you feel about the National League West and the race there? The Mets handled the Dodgers last night 9-4. And, of course, the Pirates took 3 straight from the Dodgers this week,
right.
And the Padres lost a few this week. Give me a little handicap on the National League West.
Yeah, you know, it's a not-so-subtle reminder that, you know, 162 games, long season, right? Peaks and valleys, and even the Dodgers, who everybody has deemed the kings of baseball, you know, can get swept by a team like the Pirates. I don't think a lot has changed for me in terms of the handicapping. I still think it's clear the Dodgers are the team to beat, but I don't think they're unbeatable. Boy, this next weekend series is starting to look pretty big, isn't it? With the Dodgers coming into San Francisco for 3. So, you know, I still think, you know, the Dodgers are the top dogs, but their pitching is not what we expected it to be. You know, Kershaw theoretically will be back within a couple of weeks and that'll help. But, you know, still, you look at their rotation, it's not exactly as imposing as it was made out to be back in spring training. Padres, I still think, are really good. I still think that they need to prove that they are as good on the field as they are on paper over the long haul. But obviously they've played pretty well. And, you know, the Giants, again, they're better than their record. I think they're better than they've played. And they miss guys. They miss Brandon Belt. Mm-hmm. They miss Lamont Wade. And when they get healthy, and hopefully the pitching will improve, sort of regress to expectations, which I think it will, I think they'll be fine. So bottom line, Marty, I think we're in for a really fun summer and a 3-team race. We're going to be watching right up until the end.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're at the 1/3 mark here. Giants have a couple more games to get to 54. That'll be exactly 1/3 of the season. And we still don't know where it's going to end up. But I will agree with you. It is going to be a story. Scott Reese with us. Nice to talk some ball with him on this Sunday morning. Walker Buehler last night, just to finish up the Dodgers story, he was knocked out after a couple of innings. Fastball wasn't there, and the Mets just blasted him. And you're right, the Dodger pitching, Gonsolin and all of a sudden
yeah.
Anderson are the two best pitchers
yeah.
on the Dodgers right now. Who would have thought that? The former Giant, of course, Tyler Anderson, the left-hander. Scott is with
yeah.
us. And, Scott, it's fun on Sunday morning to talk about other things than professional baseball. Let's talk about Little League baseball. You've got quite a weekend going in Little League baseball. Let's hear about it.
Oh, yeah. Today's a big one. In fact, I'm out at the field right now. It's pregame warm-ups going on in Walnut Creek, the Majors Division Little League Championship game. My son Cody's playing. So we're gonna get after it and see if we can bring home a trophy today.
All right. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, just control the parents. That's the key to Little League baseball. I've sponsored, I'll throw a plug in for my team right now, in the Alameda Little League. I've sponsored a team for the last 5 or 6 years, and their coach, Steve Menzi, got a nice award for being one of the top coaches in the league. So I've enjoyed doing it. I tell the folks I should have done this 20 years ago. It's great to be involved with youth baseball and to be part of it. Isn't it fun just to see the kids and the excitement?
It is phenomenal, especially, this age. This is the 11, 12-year-old. So, you've weeded out the kids who are, kind of doing it because their parents wanted them to, and they're not that interested, and they're out there picking grass and this and that. Like, these kids are all fired up. They want to play, back-to-back days. They can't wait to put on the uniform. And so, yeah, it takes you back, right? I mean, we all did this when we were kids, so it is a ton of fun.
Yeah, give us a little of your baseball background. Of course, we've seen you on TV. You work at KNBR. You host, and, of course, the Cardinal and everything else. Give me a little bit of your baseball background. I don't know much about it.
Not that out of the ordinary. I mean, I played as a kid. I played in high school down in Los Angeles. Not good enough to play at Stanford, so my career ended at 18. But I've always loved the game. It's always been first and foremost, covering sports for, quarter century on TV and radio. And people always ask, what's your favorite sport? And it's without hesitation, it's always been baseball. I was very fortunate during my years at ESPN to host Baseball Tonight regularly for a couple of years behind Carl Ravitch. And so, that was doing it at the highest level and working with, Tim Kirkchin and Eduardo Perez and all those, Fernando Vina, and just on and on, all the great Oral Hershiser for a while, the great analysts who were there, even Dusty Baker for a playoff season. Got to work with Dusty. So it's just a part of my core, as I know it is yours. And, when baseball's in the blood, it's just a special game, and I love it.
Yeah, good to hear that. I didn't know all that background with the people that you had worked with. And I always say, when you have passion for baseball, the key for me is, if anyone asks you a question about baseball, you just answer it. You don't think about it.
Yeah. That's
the heart for baseball. And those guys you mentioned and yourself, you've got it. Rule changes. You've watched the game for a long time. Obviously, you're involved with kids as well. Baseball's talking about the robo-ump, certainly all sorts of different rule changes, the pitch clock, and all sorts of things like that. What's your take on it?
I'm mixed. The pitch clock doesn't bother me. I don't have a problem with that. The robo umps, I've got to see it. I know they're doing it in the minors now, and I haven't actually seen a game, so I need to kind of see it to really understand. I am, like many baseball fans, I'm kind of a traditionalist, and it would sadden me to not see blue behind the plate. But by the same token, I've watched so many botched calls this year.
Isn't it amazing?
And thought, there's got to be a better way. We've got to get this right. So, I'm open to it. I'm not going to say that I'm jumping up and down at the thought of the robo-umps, but I'm open to seeing what it looks like. The one thing I would love to see, and I know there are people who disagree, and Brian Kenny is one of them. He and I went back and forth on this on the show a few weeks ago because he hates the idea. Get rid of the shift. For me, I can't stand the shift. I can't stand it aesthetically, and I'm so tired of watching guys drill baseballs up the middle that should be base hits that are, ground outs. I understand the benefit, and I understand the strategy, but I would prefer to go back to two infielders on either side. Give me more offense, give me better batting averages, and, give these hitters reward for, hitting the baseball on the nose, which should be, line drive single into center or line drive single into right.
Well, it'll put the single back in the game
right.
Because we don't have it. And I said yesterday, the Giants got 5 hits yesterday, all extra base hits. You don't see the single anymore, and it did change left-handed hitters. They turned it from a 280 hitter down to 230. So I think it's coming.
Right.
I really do. I think it's coming. What was Brian's position on it, Brian Kenny?
Brian was the opposite. Brian thinks that, he thinks that it's perfect right now. He thinks that, he likes the evolution of the game. He thinks that he likes the pitching dominant baseball that we saw, particularly in April. And I think, I don't know, a lot of fans were kind of moaning about the fact that we had teams in April hitting 198. I think the Diamondbacks were hitting in the month of April. For me, that's not entertaining, but I understand appreciating good pitching. And look, I love a great pitch 2-1 game as much as the next guy, but I don't need it in every game that I see.
Yeah, home runs are a big part of it. How do you feel about that? The home run is so prevalent.
Yeah, and that's fine. I understand the evolution. We all live through Sosa and McGuire and Chicks Dig the Long Ball and, kind of the explosion of the home run. And obviously it got out of hand in the steroid era. But, who doesn't love home runs? That's fine. But I also, Wade Boggs and Rod Carew, they matter, right? I mean, guys who are just tremendous pure hitters, Tony Gwynn, and I understand those guys could beat a shift and just take you to the opposite field, but you shouldn't have to have success. That's my take here.
All right, wonderful. Hey, good talking ball with you on this Sunday morning. I appreciate it. I love being on your show, and you're welcome anytime. And I hope the kids win today. I hope it'll be a good Sunday for you. So, Scott, have a good day, and I appreciate it.
Anytime, Marty. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. That is Scott Reese. A pleasure to have him on with us. More coming up. KNBR 680 104.5, the sports leader.